Our core text for this morning is 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 through 23. We will get there eventually, but I want to set this up, and it'll take me a little bit to do that. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the life of David, a man after your own heart. As we pursue your heart this year through the life of David, we thank you for his many victories, and we thank you for his failures. As you said, to give thanks in all things, there are things to learn from his life, from both aspects. And this particular event in his life today has something for us to learn. Give us ears to hear, hearts to understand. Teach us the application to our own lives. I ask for your help, and I ask for it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. When Christmas approaches, we sometimes ask our children what they want. Did you ever have a child say, "I don't want anything"? Not, that would be very unusual, highly unlikely. God has given us the ability to want. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1, through desire, a man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Isn't that an interesting statement? Desire, the longing of one's heart, an appetite, you might say, wishing for something. And seeking means you're looking for what you desire. Through desire, a man seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. Desire, built in our human nature, the ability to want. We sometimes go to stores because we need things, but sometimes we go just because we want something. In fact, when we need something, we want that, don't we? We are most gratified when our desire is fulfilled. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 19. The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So when you get what you want, we're not only happy, but there is a sweet sensation we feel inside. In fact, God has given us the privilege and the invitation to ask for what we want. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4. I'm having you to turn to all of these places because there's value in you seeing it on the page. Don't just take my word for it. Read it on the page. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Now, one of the things that I've been working on myself lately in my prayers is when I ask for something from God, I'm using the word please. You know, sometimes I think in our prayers, when we intend to be asking for something, it sounds like we're just telling God to do something. Do this and do that. We should make sure he understands this is just a request. Please do this. But he wants us to make our request known to him. In fact, Jesus gave us this principle over in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Very simple principle. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Verse 8, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. In fact, Jesus encouraged persistent asking. Go over to Luke chapter 18 and begin in verse 1. Luke chapter 18 and begin in verse 1 where he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. That's what she wanted. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, here's his application. Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Once in a while, we want some help. And Jesus said, don't hesitate to ask God for help. In fact, sometimes you just might have to ask multiple times because it might seem like he's taking a while to answer, but that's okay. Just keep asking. Remember, Paul asked three times for the Lord to remove the thorn in the flesh? You say, well, three times, that's not very many. Well, think about it. He asked once, and God didn't do it. So he didn't give up. He asked a second time. God still didn't do it. He still didn't give up. He asked a third time. He kept asking until he got an answer. Now, in this case, God said no. But God gave him something even better in its place. Now, we're limited to asking, wanting and asking. We cannot make something come to pass when God says no. God is not under any obligation to give us what we want just because we ask. We're free to ask. But we may not always get what we want just because we ask. Sometimes God does say no because what we want is not what God wants for us. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37, a little book immediately following the book of Jeremiah. So if you can find Jeremiah, you can find Lamentations right after it. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 37. Lamentations 3:37, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass when the Lord commanded it not? Somebody thinks something is going to come to pass just because they say it. Oh, but God has not allowed this thing to come. Man's imagination has conjured up the idea of a thing called visualization. Do you ever hear that? Visualization. Simply put, man believes you can get what you want by imagining it. No. If God doesn't command it, you can say it all you want. You can think it all you want. You can imagine it all you want. But if God doesn't allow it, it's not going to happen. Now, there is a caveat to everything I just said. caveat is a modifying or cautionary detail to be considered when evaluating or interpreting a thing. I had to look up the definition to make sure I was using the word correctly, caveat. Here is the caveat. Be careful what you ask for, because if you persist in resisting the will of God, God just might give you what you want, even though it's not good for you. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that, when they knew God, there are very few people that do not believe that God exists. They might not accurately understand who God is. There are some people who pretend they don't believe that God exists and they call themselves atheists. But even when they find themselves on the verge of dying, they somehow conjure up a prayer, "Oh, God, help me." When they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, in verse 23, they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, and there's a variety of images that man has used. Verse 24, wherefore, God also gave them up. Oh, is that what you want? You defy me. You resist me. You refuse to acknowledge me as I am. And that's what you want? Okay. In verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up to even worse things. You resist me, you deny me, you defy me, and that's what you want? Okay. Verse 27, likewise also men leaving the natural use, I'm not going to read the rest of it to describe all of that filthy stuff. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. That's what you want to do? Okay. But understand this. There are consequences. Verse 32, knowing the judgment of God. And they know the judgment of God. They know there are consequences for such things. And yet they don't care. But for the Christian, that's our subject for today. For the believer who is willing to accept whatever God decides, we are free to ask. And God might say no, but we will accept whatever God decides. For us, only God has the authority to decide whether or not something comes to pass. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Isaiah 14, verse 24. Isaiah 14, verse 24 says, the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Now, either God decrees something or God providentially allows it. But if he says no, it will never happen. If he decrees it, it absolutely will take place. It cannot be averted. Sometimes God allows things. It's not necessarily what he wants, but sometimes we have to go through some difficult times. He allows things to take place in our lives. But if God says, this thing is not going to happen, it's not going to happen. It's just the way it is. Psalm 33, verse 10 says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. And then there's the testimony of Job. Now, you know this when Job 1, verse 21, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. And what was Job's response? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job was willing to accept whatever God brought into his life. And when his wife wanted him to curse God and die, he said to her, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Losing his children and his cattle and having his body covered with boils was not what Job wanted. But if that was what God wanted, it was okay with Job. He was willing to accept whatever God allowed to take place in his life. Now with that, we go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 15. David had sinned with Bathsheba. He had her husband killed on the battlefield. He repented. We've gone through all of that. There was a child that resulted between David and Bathsheba, and that child became ill. 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 15. And Nathan departed into his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. And so David started asking God to spare the child. That's what David wanted. He wanted the child to be spared. Verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Remember what Jesus said? Sometimes you have to ask day and night. David is asking all night long because he didn't know. He didn't know what God would do. The elders of David's house tried to get him up. Verse 17, the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. David had one focus, asking the Lord for what he wanted. I want this child to live. And he was very intense, and he would not depart from this posture of prayer before the Lord. But in verse 18, the child died. It came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. David's servants really did not want to tell David because they're thinking, if David is like that while the child is still living, what's he going to be like knowing the child didn't make it? Verse 18 continues, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? They had to answer, and they said, he is dead. David did something that totally confused his servants. Verse 20, David arose from the earth. This is what they were trying to get him to do. Get up, get up, get up. Child's dead, so now he gets up and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel. Then he went to the tabernacle that he had constructed there at Jerusalem and worshiped God. It says in verse 20, came to the house of the Lord and worshiped. Finally, David went home and ate breakfast. Then he came to his own house. He wouldn't eat before, but now he's fine. He's fine with eating. Then he came to his own house. When he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. And this totally puzzled his servants. Verse 21, then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. And David had a remarkable response, verse 22. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? Then David makes this profound prophecy. I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. Affirming for us that young children, if they die, do go to heaven. I have two infant brothers in heaven. Donald, who died at the age of 4 months. Douglas, who died at the age of 10 months. And David has this child. David teaches us this principle. Before God makes his decision, we have the privilege of asking God for what we want, because we don't know what God will decide. Before God makes his decision, we can ask. But once God makes his decision, there is nothing we can do to change it. So we must accept what God decides. Psalm 138. Psalm 138, verse 3. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Lord, I cried to you. I cried all night long for what I wanted. You didn't give me what I wanted, but you gave me something else. You gave me the strength to accept what you decided. In verse 6, he says, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. Yes, the Lord is all the way up there in heaven. He's high above all things. We're just these little teeny tiny speck of things on this tiny planet in this vast universe. But he thinks about us. He thinks about us. And he cares about us. In verse 3, I'm looking for something there. No. Verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. David was troubled about the child. He wanted that child. God wouldn't let him have it. And so God revived him. He stretched forth his hand against David's enemies, and with his right hand he saved him. He perfected that which concerneth me, he says. God makes no mistakes. And a man after God's own heart submits his will to God's will. Deuteronomy 32, verse 4 says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And therefore, Psalm 34, verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. Hear that. I will bless the Lord at all times. I don't get what I want. God says no. Fine. I'll bless the Lord. Someone rushes into the room and says, I got an answer to prayer. What is always the case when someone says that? They got what they wanted. Isn't that true? I got an answer to prayer. Wouldn't it be something if somebody rushes into the room and says, I got an answer to the prayer. Oh, you got what you want? No. God said no. Well, what are you so excited about? Because God makes no mistakes. He's always right. I didn't get what I wanted, but it's okay. God wants us to ask. In fact, we are allowed to ask lots of times. And sometimes, many times, God gives us what we want. But be ready for God to say no. He's always right. He always knows best. And it's important for us to be prepared in our hearts, just like David, to accept God's final decision. Whatever it is, it's right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this lesson. May we understand it and accept it. May we give you thanks in all things. May we bless your name at all times, even when you say no, because you're perfect. You're always right, and you make no mistakes. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.